I have a great love and appreciation for this church. I'm not going to try to figure out the first time that I was here, but the last time I was here in a conference, our dear brother was pastor then, and he got up and said I was the old head of the conference, that no one had been to as many as I had. But I love the church. When I was a home missionary in Louisiana, the church supported me, and more than that, they would send gifts that enabled us to go home and see our parent, and it just meant a great deal. That was back when Brother Lazier was pastor, so that's been a long time. Proverbs 22:15, if you'll turn there. Proverbs 22:15. The scripture says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. The scripture says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And we thank you that you love us so much that you do not allow us to go on in sin. We pray that you'd give us grace to somewhat replicate your love in our own families. May we love our children. Give us a renewed prayer life for them. And we ask that you'd bless this message to each heart, to those that shall become parents in the future, and to those that have been parents for a long time. We pray that, again, you'd burden our heart with prayer. Forgive us and go with us and help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture has really little to say specifically about the discipline of children, but what it does say is said in the light of Bible context. And so we want to first look at this. We start with the home. When it comes to the rearing of children, God has given us the home. We look at Genesis 2, verse 18. Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to the beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. The reason that God caused Adam to name the animals, of course, he was to take dominion. But another reason is so that Adam could see that there were none that were really suitable for him as a helpmeet. I like to think of it this way. The horse marched by, and Adam looked at it and said, you could ride that. And the dog came by and licked him in the face, and he said, this will be my best friend. And Eve was brought to him by God, and he forgot all about the horse and the dog. She was the loveliest thing that he had ever seen, and she was a help who was meet or suitable for him. Then we have God's protection around this home that he had formed. God performed the first wedding. And as we know, it was God that set up and instituted the home. In Exodus 20, which we know, of course, as the Ten Commandments, we have God's defense of the home. In Exodus 20, in verse 12, the Scripture says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, this fifth commandment is, we're to take note of this. The word father there refers to a person with authority from God. A policeman is a father. A mayor is a father. The president is a father. But the most basic unit of delegated authority is the father and the mother. And so, while the first table of the law has to do with our duty toward God, and the second table of the law has to do with our duty toward our fellow man, the fifth commandment is in between. Because even though it deals with our duty toward our fellow man, that man is a father who has authority from heaven delegated to him. And so when the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, what you are to do is to recognize the plan of God and the delegated authority of God, which He has given to parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. And He even appends a promise to that. And I could say this and say it several times, never say it enough. If you're making your mom and dad happy, you're probably getting ready to make yourself unhappy. Or if you're making your mom and dad unhappy, you're probably getting ready to do the same thing to yourself. Then in verse 14, we have another of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You notice that each of the Ten Commandments has to do with a category. Now, there are sexual sins that are more horrendous and shocking than adultery. But God doesn't use them. He uses the word adultery because He is specifically referring to the protection of the home. And then, in the last of the Ten Commandments, the Scripture says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And so you see that God not only authorizes the home, but He puts a hedge of protection around the home. Man needs a home. Adam needed a help, meat for himself. And God had him to name all the animals so that he would know that nothing supplied this need but the family. You know, we hear the world today talk about science. I think it would be a relatively easy thing to do a little research and to prove that children need a mom and a dad. Not two moms. And I understand that people find themselves in single parent home. And if you do that, you say, what do? You do the best you can do. And in a church like this, you can find help. But people need a mom and a dad. Well, you need a mom and a dad to even exist. But psychologically, you need a mom and a dad. And I don't think it would be a difficult thing if science was interested in teaching something that would be a benefit to prove that. Now, we think of parental duty. It's the duty of parents to instruct. Brother Chamberlain has already walked all over my sermon, but because he's a friend, I'm going to overlook it. I'm not opposed to repetition anyway. But it's our duty to instruct. The education of your child, the teaching of your child, that which he knows, that's your business. I'm not saying you have to homeschool. I'm saying it's our business to oversee and to make sure that our children are taught what they need, to instruct them and to correct them. Several times people have referred to the barbarism that's going on in our country now. And maybe you've heard this, but I think it's worth telling. Several years ago in Africa, probably quite a few years ago now, they noticed that the rhinos, which are very rare and treasured, were beginning to become scarce. And they didn't know what was happening, and so they did some research, and they found out that poachers were killing all the bull elephants. And the big bulls, when things were like they should have been, at the water hole would teach the young bulls how to act. And one of the things they taught them was, don't kill the rhinos. Well, when your bull elephants abscond their duty, and when you have parts of town where there's no fathers, you've got problems. And so, parental duty. Now, what is our goal in discipline? Well, to teach submission, to produce remorse for sin. Let me make this very plain. If you discipline a child and that child's still mad when you're done, you just made him harder. You either soften or you harden. You either produce remorse or you produce resentment. And so, how we need the help of God, how we need wisdom in training up our children. And then we look at the rearing of children as a means of grace. Now, I want to say something now. I really don't want to say it. I just feel like it's something that should be said. Several times in preaching lately, I've tried to stir up children that have grown up in Christian homes and show them their need to repent and seek Christ. And I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they're not depart from it. And they took that as a guarantee that a child would be saved. Now, I believe that you cannot paint a target for grace. Grace is sovereign. God said that he'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy. When we talk about paint a target, back in the old days, they might have a factory and they would actually paint a target where the bombers could see it. Now they paint a target with a laser or something like that. But we cannot paint a target for grace. We do our best to raise our children. And then we pray that God will use us. And just as we preach the gospel, and then we pray that God will use us. And we teach, and we befriend, and we take our children to church, and we pray that God will use it. If you disagree with me, I would ask you just to prayerfully consider and think about what you're teaching. I'm always somewhat disturbed when people seem to take a position just to make themselves feel better. we need to take the things of God serious, and we need to take the eternity of souls serious. Now, let me give some, I think, needful advice about the discipline of children. First of all, the priority of love. The priority of love. I said this morning. I had a dear mother and a dear father, and I thank God for them. But my mother had a saying. I've heard her say it 100 times. She'd say, everything needs love. And I thought she was just a nice, cheerful person. But I pretty much found out everything needs love. You know, they say that a child that's raised by a mother who is abusive or depressed, that when that mother never looks into the eyes of that child, that harms the development of that child. Something as simple as looking into the child's eyes while they play and nurse. How important it is that we love our children and that our children know that they're loved. One of the things that I observe in a home is whether or not it's a happy home. In Hebrews 12, verse 9 and 10, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. When God chastens us, and God chastens his children, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But when the Lord chastens us, he does it for our good. Now, we as human beings are imperfect. And sometimes we just become irritated. And sometimes we do it for reasons that are not holy and right. But we need to seek in our life to be like the Lord and do what we do for the good of our children. And so we put a priority on love. Then there is the need of being spirit-filled. In Ephesians 5 and 18. Ephesians 5 and 18. The scripture tells us, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's very interesting if you take a look at the context of this statement. Paul is talking about roles, the role of the husband, the role of the wife, the role of the child, the role of the parent, the role of the employee. And he says, in essence, that if you want to be what you should be in the role that God has given you to fill, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you'll be the husband and the wife and the child, and the employee that you should be. You know, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Our relationship with God has very much to do with our success as parents. And when we are walking with God, and when we're filled with the Spirit of God, then we are the parents and the disciplinarians that we should be. Now, I want to mention some things, and Brother Chamberlain talked about some of these things. But it goes without saying, and discipline, that we're not talking about the physical or the psychological injury of a child. I debated whether to say this, but down in the country, they always use the peach switch. It hurt, but it didn't do any damage. It should be age appropriate. You say, what do you mean? You know, the first thing I ever had to do is my kids would reach up and pull my glasses off my face. And I taught them a two-letter word. No. No means stop now. And if they kept doing it, I'd pop the back of their hand. And they learned no means if you do it again, you can get the back of your hand popped. No one size fits all. You know, in discipline, we have to realize that every child we have is different. And we have to deal with them accordingly. But in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, Paul said, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Again, if a child is not brought to remorse, they're simply hardened. And we need to beware with our children that we do not frustrate them, or we do not cause them to think that their cause is hopeless. I'll give you an example. Boys like girls and girls like boys. And sooner or later, your child, under most normal circumstances, is going to want to marry. And if somebody, for whatever reason, caused a child to feel like it was hopeless, they're courting disaster. So we need to beware of frustrating or bringing hopelessness into the heart of a child or provoking them to anger, feeling that they have been mistreated. Well, another question we have is why this form of discipline? This is not the only form of discipline, but why this form of discipline? I remember in a psychology class that I had in school, they had a cartoon in it, and the dad's spanking the little boy, and he's saying, "This will teach you to hit your sister." They think that's real smart. But it struck me that, you mean you don't know the difference between loving discipline and parameters and care and uncontrolled violence? But why this form of discipline? First of all, because it allows the parent to make an instant assessment. Is the child sorry for what they've done? Second of all, as Brother Chamberlain says, people today say, "Time out. What are you going to do when the kid says no? What are you going to do then?" And then love. Discipline expresses the love of the parent. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Have you ever heard a parent, or have you ever heard a person stand up and say, "I really love my parents. When I was young, they'd let me get by with anything. I could come in the middle of the night. I could sass them. And they never disciplined me. And that makes me love them so much." Did you ever hear anybody talk like that? I never heard anybody talk like that. What I have heard over and over and over is, "My dad would take you out behind the woods, yeah." And the whole time they're saying that, it's obvious that what they're saying, I appreciate my father. I appreciate my mother. And so discipline not only expresses love, but it produces love. I was listening to one of the political radio programs, and they mentioned something that was written by a woman who was in charge of something to do with the family at one of the Ivy League schools. And she was expressing concern that with this COVID-19, if the children didn't go back to school, they would have to be around these authority figures all day. And it seemed to horrify her. And you think, how do these nuts get into these positions? But I thought about that woman. Obviously, the woman's unhappy. And what caused her to say that? You say she was probably abused as a child. She probably didn't have any discipline at all when she was a child. How miserable, how sad. And so, parents, just as God loves His people, let us love our children. And let us teach them and train them. And let us pray for them. And let us do the best we can do. And let us pray that God will use our effort as a means of grace. And then to the children, I say, see that God has given your parents authority. He placed them in the position that they're in. And when you rebel against your parents, you're rebelling against God. And the authority of the parent is more basic than the authority of the police or the authority of the fathers of the country. And remember what Brother Ron said. If you're making your parents miserable, you're undoubtedly getting ready to make yourself miserable. And you need to love your parents and honor your parents and obey your parents and listen carefully to what they say and learn from them. And God said, honor thy father and thy mother. And we call that the first commandment with promise.